Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to talk about age tonight. Notice I didn't say old age. I just want to talk about age. The Lord knows, and I'm very, very thankful that I have plenty of it and hope to have plenty more. But when you think about age, we tend to think in a negative fashion about it. You know, I'm getting older. I can't do some of the things I used to do. Some things I probably don't want to do. Even that, it tends to be, we don't look at age as being positive, but really, there's two sides of age. In today's vernacular, you might say age can be an upper or age can be a downer. The downer is obvious. The downer is that it's one day less that we have to live here on this earth. But that's the negative side of it. But the upper part is that each day is the first day of the rest of our life to serve God. That is positive. And I tend to be a glasses half full person anyway, so I would rather look at the more positive part of it that says this is the first day of the rest of my life. In service to God. And that's the point. If you look there in chapter 4, Paul is making the point of life and the fact, you know, he's getting on up in years now, and he's starting to be concerned about how much longer he's going to have. Not that he's fretting about it, but he realizes he's in a quandary. And there's other places too about, you know, would it be better for me to stay here so that I can do more work for the Lord? Or would it be better for me? And my preference would be to go on and be with the Lord. He said, you know, for your sake, hopefully I can stay here longer for your benefit. Starting in verse 16, let's read there through verse 11 of chapter 5. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then continuing on there in chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And keep that verse 3 in mind. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. That our mortality, the time we have left, may be swallowed up by our continuing service, in our increasing service to God. And then verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We can be close, but we're not really with him as we can be. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Paul is making the positive out of the physical, the positive things that he can do while he's still here on earth, even though he realizes that his time is running out. And that's the upper, the first day of the rest of our life serving God. And that's the point that he was making there in these few verses. He's in the latter stages of life, but continues to exhort the Corinthians here to make the best use of their time and not to worry about age there in verses 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed on a daily basis. That's what our striving should be. Even though physically all of us are wearing out, if we're renewing our inward man daily, then we're preparing to be with God. We should not worry about our age, our physical conditions. We should worry about our status with God there in verse 3. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. That's what we need to be assured of. Worry about our status and being clothed with Christ, or else we will be found naked. That sounds extreme. It's true. It's kind of an either-or statement. It's not, well, maybe I'm partially clothed. It's you either are or you're not. In verse 4, still in chapter 5, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And that's the continuing renewal in our daily lives that we mentioned before, so that we can spend the rest of our time in serving God. And then Paul also said to the Corinthians in verse 11 of chapter 5, is knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Paul realizes, and is not talking about his popularity among the people, because we know he was in some very dire circumstances and considers him to be super popular. But he's well known by God. And that's the important part. He says, I am well known to God. And that has to be our goal. That has to be our target in life, is to get better and better known by God as we draw closer and closer to Him as we continue our lives here on earth. And that's the point that I'm making here tonight, is by being clothed with Jesus, we can serve Him the rest of our life. And as we pointed out there in verse 7 of chapter 5, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We have faith in God. And we know that as we keep our lives in subjection to Him, that we can wind up being with Him. We can be clothed. And being clothed I'll get my tongue around it in a minute. Being clothed with Christ. It simply means having put on Christ, as Paul told the Romans there in chapter 15 and verse 14. And in Christ simply means having put on Christ, being obedient to the simple plan of salvation, which, as he pointed out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's what we're looking for tonight. That's what we continue to look for as we go about our lives day by day, as we interact among all of our associates, whether at work or at school or wherever we might be, even at the shopping malls. You'd be surprised what kind of conversations you can get into at some of those. But our intent is to be clothed to having put on Christ. And to do that, it's simply being responsive to his basic, his simple, anyone can do it, plan of salvation through faith and repentance and confession and baptism, or through penitence and prayer if your clothing has become soiled after having done that. So we all need to think about our clothing. We talk about being clothed in robes of white. It's a pretty pure statement, but it's scriptural. That's our target, and that's our goal. So whatever your circumstance might be, we need to become well known to God. And part of that is through having put on Christ, as just mentioned. And you have that opportunity now. If you have a need, either for a repentance and prayer for having soiled garments now, or through obedience to first principles of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you have that opportunity now to make your wishes known, and we stand ready to help you in whatever that might be, as we stand to sing our selected song.